Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 8th of June. I'm your host, Paul White, and I'm honored to have you with me today as we are journeying through the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. We've arrived in Galatians 6:6, and this is a turning point in this chapter and will be so up until at least the 10th verse, where the apostle starts to talk about being generous and doing good. This comes straight on the heels of us fulfilling the law of Christ in the 2nd verse. But also closer on the heels of the 5th verse where everybody bears his own load. It's interesting that the very next phrase out of Paul's mouth would be about sharing. Remember, verse 5, everyone bears his own load. Verse 6, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. It's almost as if Paul wants to qualify the fact that we do all bear our own load, however, because we are sons of God, part of the family of God, and fulfilling the law of Christ. There is more to this than just seeing someone has a load and go, well, good luck. So there's this beauty. The beauty of grace in the kingdom is that we recognize these truths and our hearts are pliable. We are moldable. So while I'm bearing my own load and you're bearing your own load and we're doing our own thing, there is a season and a time and a place for sharing. And the 6th verse starts to introduce that. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So I don't think Paul has backed off of everybody bears his own load. That has to do with burden. But he does want to make sure that we realize that even in the midst of bearing our own load, we could relieve someone else by sharing with what we have. Paul specifically says, those who are taught the word should share in all good things with him who teaches. So this is Paul's way of, this is Paul's new covenant funding of ministry. The old covenant funding of ministry was that the children of Israel tithed of their goods and they would give 10% of their increase into the basically one large pot that would support the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, because the priestly tribe did not receive an inheritance. And therefore, the priestly tribe couldn't go plant crops and raise cattle. They were working in the service of the Lord every day. And they had to survive off of the 10% of the other 11 tribes, which meant that the tribe of Levi got a little extra. I mean, if you have 11 tribes giving 10%, you're going to end up with a little more in that one tribe than you would have in any other tribe. And it was considered part of the blessing of being a part of the tribe of Levi. Now, I don't think that we have to directly correlate that into the new covenant, that the minister is supposed to have a little bit more than the others. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply showing the old covenant economics. The new covenant doesn't do that. We don't see the apostle Paul giving the injunction to tithe. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul says that each should give from his own heart cheerfully, not of compulsion, which is not a requirement, so that Paul doesn't say give X amount because you have to. That would be against the spirit of Christ. We give because we are blessed. We give because we want to be a blessing. We give because we have had something put into our heart. And when it's been put into our heart and we like it and it helps us, we hope that it gets to do the same thing to someone else. And so just as I said the other day, you have someone who gave into our ministry, and I thanked them, and their response blessed my heart. When we gift you, I think that's how he said it. When we gift you, we feel like we are gifting the world, and that's a great way to look at it. Because you know, what you don't support will eventually go away. If everyone stops eating at a restaurant in your town, the restaurant will close its doors. Why is that? Well, it's simple economics. They just don't have enough money to continue. What we don't support will go away in every area of our lives, and that's not a threat. But in ministry, if we give nothing into the ministries that teach us, then there may eventually be no ministry that teaches us. I take this very serious on my own part. I don't follow a lot of ministries. Okay, I have a handful. And I almost always, the ones I do support financially, I have a personal connection to. But I also take it very serious that if I start feeding off of a ministry, if it starts to bless me, if I start to get something out of the word or the man or whatever, I give because I feel like I don't want to take it for free, and I want to be a blessing to them so that they can continue to do what they do. And we give into some missionary work, and we give into some domestic ministries, and I don't have sometimes a rhyme or reason. I try to follow the Spirit on how I do that. But I feel like if you want things to continue, you have to share. And so in the midst of all of us bearing our own load, there is the element that is the New Covenant economics. And the New Covenant economics is not some form of socialism. The early church tried that in Acts 4. And it's almost as if they were trying it due to the fact that it worked for the priests in Levi. Maybe it'll work for the church. And it didn't. And they abandoned it. And death followed that. I mean, you have Ananias and Sapphira and that tragedy that follows that experiment with socialism in Acts 4 and 5. The church moved away from that, and as you should, because it punishes those who do at the expense, it and then rewards those who don't, and that is almost like slavery, because the economics of slavery are so devastating, your economy will tank under servitude, slavery, versus free enterprise where people work to advance. They will work harder, they will work smarter, they will work better. The economy will churn more. I think the New Covenant economics are far better than the old. If we get a church full of people or a ministry of people who give by love and out of a response to the gospel, we will do so much better than compulsory giving where everyone says, well, I got to give this much, here comes the offering plate. Sure, you'll know your budget under an old covenant system of giving, but you won't have a heart of giving under an old covenant system of giving. And you will have a group of people who give out of fear that something bad will happen to them. This is where you get into the things such as, if you don't give, you're going to be cursed of God. You're going to be put underneath this, and you're going to lose this. And that's an old covenant mentality. And I've also found that the message of grace, It has a hard time surviving in an environment where the giving is old covenant, because the people are hearing one thing from the pulpit and another thing from the guy taking up the offering. You know, there's this idea of, oh, God loves you and he's paid for this and he's not condemning you. And then, okay, we're going to take up an offering and you need to give, because if you don't, you're going to be cursed. And people are wising up to that tactic and saying, I don't know about that. So here's Galatians 6:6 again. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Tomorrow, we'll do what we've done a lot in this study. We'll use another Pauline epistle to help us. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 9 and look at Paul's definition of what it means to actually give. We'll see you then. God bless.